It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 691. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. Also, you can go directly to instanthousecall.com. Great show lined up. We're going to talk about the project I had last weekend, which was Active Directory Domain Controller Network being downgraded to a peer server. Lots of things there. A Ubiquiti project, a program called iMazing that I had to use that a listener recommended on Transfer and Music. Going to talk about a add-in for Chrome called Simplify, and two Windows 10 links. One, a warning about the next Windows 10 update, and also 11 Windows 10 tips. So let's begin with the project where November of 2018, we wanted to upgrade QuickBooks to 2019. And the server was server 2008. But it was not server 2008 R2. We tried everything and then worked with QuickBooks. We could not get the database manager for QuickBooks to run on the server. Everybody's Windows 10, and we just couldn't get it done. So at the same time, I started looking at this and sat with the owner and went over all the options. And I said, we could upgrade the server to server 2012 or 2016. It's going to be a lot of money. It's an HP ProLiant server, which is already way past its prime and out of warranty. I suggest that let's downgrade the network to a peer server. You really don't have anything running on the server except the database manager for QuickBooks, and then it's more for file sharing than anything else. So I could put a nice Optiplex in its place with lots of fast hard drive for performance and then downgrade the network. We had to wait till tax season was over. They have about 20 different QuickBooks files, and they have three people that need to use QuickBooks all the time. Friday, late afternoon, my son and I began the migration. The one receptionist, she left early, and we were able to start with her workstation while others still continued to work. The first link in tonight's show is the Forensit, or 4NSIT is the website for the Profile Migration Wizard. This software is free, and I've talked about this in the past when I had to migrate from one domain to another, but now I had to drop from the domain into a work group and preserve the profile for all the users. It was so easy. This utility, anytime you're messing with profiles, this is the utility. Whether you want to join another domain, unjoin a domain, but preserve all of the settings and everything from the profile. It's so easy. This saves so much time. And we tested the first perfect. And even before we did that, I set up in a separate location the new server, which was a different name. It was just a work group. And I set up the new shares that mirrored the shares from the server. Everything went perfect except for one thing that I didn't plan on. And luckily, the CPA was available via phone on a Friday night. I did not have the admin password for each of the QuickBooks files. Remember this, if you're ever migrating to a new version of QuickBooks, you have to have the admin password because that is the only account that will allow you to upgrade to the new version. We were moving from QuickBooks Pro 2014, actually QuickBooks Premier 2014 to Premier 2019. And with these 20 accounts, had to have the admin password for each and every one, was only able to get 14 of the passwords because he didn't have the other six. And luckily, they weren't as important. So he had to do that later, actually this week. I think it was on Tuesday, the CPA remote connected and was able to take care of everything and upgrade the accounts that I didn't upgrade. So once I got QuickBooks going on the new server, and I don't install the client, I only do pick custom, and I just have the database manager installed because I don't need the client on the peer server. So then I test it with the one workstation first. I upgraded QuickBooks, perfect, and then started logging in as each of those accounts as the admin and started upgrading each QuickBooks file. Made sure Shadow Protect was installed before I left and that it had started a backup, and then it emailed me later in the evening that it worked. My son and I, we were on site for 8 hours for this entire process, and everything went perfectly except for one unexpected problem. We had a UPS that we also had to replace. So we were all done. Everything's tested and the server, the original server shut off. I did not realize something when we rebooted the router and the switch. All of a sudden, we couldn't connect back to the peer server. Now, I still have to investigate this deeper and I have to talk further with Winston Wolf, but there was one panic phone call that I performed to Winston, and off the top of his head, he immediately said, "Mike, turn off the firewall on the peer server," and all was fixed. What I have to do is get the local ports that are needed for mapping the drives back to the server, and then basically reset up the firewall with those open ports. But it was amazing where I was trying everything and rebooting things, and none of the workstations was able to map, even though minutes prior to that, prior to me rebooting the router, I was able to connect perfectly. I would have eventually got there, but it would have taken a lot longer, and it's nice having access to someone that knows this and a literally 3-minute conversation, and all was fixed. It's just amazing how much knowledge he has. And it also brings to light, I have a few clients with servers, but I haven't been doing that many server migrations to just have it like on the top of my head, every single thing. I mean, I work with servers in the corporate world every day of my life. But since I've been on my own consulting, I do more non-server work than I do server work. So that's why I know Winston is just engulfed in servers all the time, 24/7. So it was nice, and I thank him for helping me again when I get stuck, when I hit that brick wall. And I was like, boy, I could start looking this up and researching it, but you know what? Sometimes the phone call is just so much faster to call someone you know is going to have the answer. On Monday morning, I received a couple panic emails from one of the users. And what had transpired, his default printer was not set after we changed the profile. And so he was confused. So that was one. He believed he could not print anymore. He also didn't read the email that I sent him that the six files needed to be upgraded before you connect. He was trying to connect. And then there was one other small problem. These were all user errors, but I wasn't sure at the time. And I was reading the emails of just how it was being presented to me. Once I called, it was only a couple minutes and I was able to fix everything. So that was great because I was on my way to another project, which this company needed the Ubiquiti Wi-Fi access points. We had to replace some of the old ones. And this is where we had to have the maintenance guy at the company because use one of the lifts because the ceiling is just so high. And the wiring's already done. And the next set of links are going to be our Amazon link to the Ubiquiti, what we call the cloud key. This is the key for you to be able to access all the settings of Ubiquiti access points and even some of the other Ubiquiti network devices. I have not used them yet. I've been just using, and even on very small scale, I only have two clients that have the access points, but they are so easy to work with. And if you have the cloud key, the first thing you do is you plug that in a PoE port, power over Ethernet, and you connect and set up, and you need a Ubiquiti account. So you set up an account local to manage your devices, and then you set up an account online, and the account will sync with your online account, so you can literally manage everything from the cloud. Very, very nice. And right now, we only have three access points. We're going to have more. And if you're installing this and you want to adopt access points, you have to reboot the device. So you got to put the pin in and kind of do a reset. And then you can go back to the admin panel of the Ubiquiti cloud key and you can adopt that device once you see it. And then now you take ownership of it. And you've already set up your main SID, your guest SID, and the passwords. And now that will automatically be sent and configured for all the access points. And you can beautifully manage them where you can see what utilization, how many clients are connecting, all the details you want. And there's a nice free app for Android and the iPhone. It was so easy to manage all of the settings and everything you need to do. I'm going to have a link to the cloud key device, which is like, I think like $104. And then the access points are $135 a piece and they come with their own power PoE adapter. So if you don't have a PoE switch, you can just use that adapter. I'll have a link to that. And if you look, I also have a generic Ubiquiti link to Amazon because if you have to buy more than three, I recommend a 4-pack or multiple 5-packs. You can save money by buying more of Access Pro points, which is what I like. It's the UAP AC Pro device is what you want. I want to thank Dexter. It's Unify, and I wasn't using that word. It's the Unify controller, which is what you want to be able to, that's what the cloud key is. It's a unified controller. Now they used to have, and I think they still do have the software version, but it's nice having the device, which in itself is a web server, the controller to be able to manage everything. Dexter provided a link that I'm going to make sure is in the show notes, which is the Unify device adoption methods for remote Unify controllers. And that's directly from Ubiquiti. Thank you for giving me that. He also reminds us that the multi-packs do not always have the PoE device, and that's correct. And that's why for just the three devices and getting the PoE, whether I need it or not, they're nice to have. I made sure to get them, and for only $135, it was well worth it. But once you get these set up, it's so easy to maintain, manage, to upgrade the firmware. It makes your life for the IT support much, much easier. This week, and I talked about this months ago, where one of my clients who was in Florida got a new iPhone And he had like 1,000 songs that needed to be migrated, and he couldn't find anybody down there to help him migrate. And he's not technical enough to do it on his own. And I have software that I've talked about that I've had no problems. One is TouchCopy 16. I've talked about this when I needed to grab things off of an iPhone device, and it was simple. Well, I thought I was going to be able to use that to transfer everything. He finally, this week, is back in the area, and he calls me on Sunday and says, Mike, can you get my device and do this? And this was Monday, so I had a really busy Monday. I go over, I pick up the iPhones, I bring them back. The old iPhone, I think it was an iPhone 6. The new one was a 10S. And I plugged in the 6, touch copy, no problem. Copied all 1,000 songs into a folder by artist, by album, year, everything. It was beautiful. Just migrated everything perfectly and extracted it from the phone. So now I plug in the new one. No joy. It wouldn't even recognize the iPhone 10. I even updated touch copy and it would not do it. Then I remember a listener sending a link, which was not that long ago, and he recommended iMazing for $50. The trial version I downloaded first, but it only like transfers 5 items. So I seen that it could do it and it recognized the 10. So I purchased it for $50. And by the way, when I do something like that and there's a utility, I pass that cost along to the client because I would never have bought it elsewise. For $50, he got his 1,000 songs transferred in just a few minutes. It was a piece of cake. And then called him up and he was able to swing by and pick up the 2 iPhones, gave him an invoice. I would go right to iMazing, and I'm going to put that into the show notes to have trusted software to transfer and save your music, messages, files, and data. Safely back up your iPhone, your iPad, or your iPod Touch. It's powerful. It's user-friendly. It is very simple. And it's the best iOS device manager for Mac and PC. I have another piece of software that I found. I'm not a big Chrome user, but I wanted to pass this on. I read this. It's called Simplify for Gmail. The author is Michael Leggett, L-E-G-G-E-T-T. He is the original designer. He was the lead designer of Gmail at Google, and he was the co-founder of Google Inbox. And he's been writing Chrome extensions for years. And one of the things he was bothered by was how Gmail presents itself in the Chrome browser. And he cleans it up and simplifies it. What a beautiful idea. If you are a Chrome user and you use Gmail, you absolutely want to have this free extension called Simplify. Or if you know someone that's got Chrome and uses Gmail, it really cleans up the screen from all the junk when you're on Gmail, and it makes it very smooth, efficient, and nice. So I tested this out. It's a really nice extension, and I strongly recommend it if you're a Gmail and a Chrome user. I am a big Firefox user. As a matter of fact, everything I'm looking at, and as I'm connected to Twitch right now, I'm in Firefox. He doesn't write Firefox extensions, but I'd like to see this extension in Firefox. That would be really nice. Maybe someone will do that. Boy, I'm breezing through everything tonight, so let's get to the Windows 10 links. The first one that I have is Microsoft is issuing an important warning on the next Windows 10 upgrade. Now, there's been a lot written on this, and I wanted to make sure to get it into your hands. I'll have the link in the show notes. I think it's this month. The Windows 10 update, you need 32 gigs of hard drive space to perform this update. Now, if you're my client or my systems, I certainly have more than that. But there's a lot of people that are kind of running lean and mean that may not have that hard, that much hard drive space. They are doubling what is normally required for a typical Windows 10 update. So you now need 32 gigs of space available. So one of the things you want to do for your client before the this big update hits is get a check on how much space is left on the C drive. And maybe this is a chance to clone them up to a bigger hard drive or do some pruning and cleaning and get rid of some unwanted files. But this is a warning before the next update. And this is an update we absolutely want because it will allow us to take control of the updates. So this is an update that you're going to want to implement. Now, I won't implement this right away. When there's a new feature upgrade, I have everybody set to either 60 or 90 days. I do not want feature updates. I will not have my clients on the bleeding edge. Now, I will test it out on my test systems, and I'll force my son to upgrade to it, but I will not inflict any clients with this update until I know it's safe, I know it works, and I've done the due diligence by checking to make sure they all have enough space. Next link and final link for the show, and will be in the show notes, is 11 Windows 10 tips to increase productivity. I've used this way back. There's a God mode to control everything on Windows 10. They even had this in Windows 7. You can set the folder that you're going to want to rename, and then you can go into God mode. There's a Windows 10 dark mode. Now, I need to take a look and implement that because right now I have just black screens. I don't want the light reflecting from the white. So I am going to look into this. I think I tried it once and I really didn't like it, but there is a dark mode that you can click on start, settings, personalization, colors, and then select dark mode. I got to give that another try. You can send Android text messages from your Windows 10 PC, sync copied messages on Windows, organize apps on Windows 10, use mouse to resize snapped apps. This is a useful feature you get to use while working on Windows 10 to boost performance in snapping windows. But if you want to resize them, then what? Well, you don't have to worry. If you want to resize any snap screen, hover the mouse pointer over the intersection and resize them the way you want. When you snap windows, I don't know if you've done this on big monitors where you can throw the app towards one side and another app to another side and you can kind of split the screen. Well, now you can hover the mouse over between that split and then you can actually move. Take a snapshot of Windows 10 using the Windows key Shift S. I do that all the time. Hide desktop icons quickly. One of the things I use is fences. I use this app and I create different fences groups on my desktop. All I got to do is double click my desktop and all the icons are gone and it frees my desktop icon. I like that. Well, here they go through what you have to pick on the menu to show all the desktop icons or not. Get Microsoft Experience on your Android phone. You can have the Microsoft launcher from the Google Play Store. You know, I don't know any Android user that is dying to have the Microsoft Experience on their Android phone. I don't see that tip being used a lot with the Android people. You could chat within a shared Word doc and then find multiple open apps quickly. That's very easy. I do that all the time, but you can read through this and click and find out exactly how to execute all of these tips. When I find things like that, I like to share it. So no email tonight. We're going to save some of your email. If you sent it in and I didn't respond or didn't read it, don't worry. I'm going to get to them, and I will do that in an upcoming show or at least next week. That is it for tonight's show. I want to thank everybody for downloading and listening to the show. And remember, the best way to support the Mike Tech Show and Tech Vets, look for next week. We're going to try to do a Tech Vets on Tuesday night. So Carrie and I, look for that for Tuesday night next week. You want to support Carrie Holzman and myself? The best way to do that is our Amazon link. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support us. We really, really appreciate that. It makes a difference in helping us out. Also, Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. Had to use that on a new system install that was actually installed yesterday. The night before, I was able to get the old system for the client, took out the old hard drive, put it on a dock on my test system, fired up Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. And this is a system, an old computer that would not boot, but the hard drive was good. And I was able to get 18 gig of his entire profile, all of his Chrome and Firefox settings, all of his email settings and his PST files. It just beautifully came over and then connected it. After that, I put them on our local server here in our office. And then once my son finished configuring the system, I went over, ran Fabs, pulled all of the stuff I had just extracted right from our server. Boom. He was set perfectly and upgraded to Windows 10 from Windows Vista. So that was a great upgrade. I wanted to mention that because Fabs did a great job in moving everything. Client is very, very, very happy. So you can get that. Link will be in the show notes for that utility. That's it. I'll see everybody. Don't forget to support Instant House Call. Go to instanthousecall.com. Try the software out for 15 days for free. That's it. See everybody next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.